Should we have to hear something? So Gaia used to go visit the Jewish prisoners that the British locked up at the time establishment of the state and the wars that were going on. Gaia came once, Pesach morning, the first day of Pesach, and he was talking to the guys, the chevra, the Jewish prisoners, the British were holding. And Rabbi asked them how the Seder went, how did the Seder go? The prisoners made a Pesach Seder. Rabbi asked, how did the Seder go? So they were all a little bit, nervous. And one of the prisoners said, Rabbi, everything was going well, everything was beautiful, the Seder was wonderful, except the Meshvar Chamascha, we couldn't open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi. It's in jail. So Meshvar Chamascha, we couldn't open the door. You know the part of the Seder, the time of the Seder, the Meshvar Chamascha, we opened the door for Eliyahu HaNavi. So the British didn't allow us to open the door. So I want to read to you the sentence from Rabbi Levine. Because the entire shmuz now is going to be to talk about this. Rabbi said the following, he says, Ahuvai Bonai, my beloved sons. Du lachem, you should know. Yikol Adam Yoishay Bebeis Kel. Every person lives in a prison, in a cell. Every person lives in a jail. Gam Bebeisam. Even though it's your home. Every person's living in jail, in a cell. Each and every one of us is a galus. Each and every one of us is meshuggah, is enslaved to habits, to old ways of thinking, to old ways of behaving, old ways of reacting, to taivas, to yitzharalot, everybody. The Rabbi says, he called Adam Yoshe Bebeis Kel, Gam Bebeis, or even in his house. Then Yoitze Derech Pesach Beisah. The way to get out of jail is not through the opening, is not through the door of the house. Ela Aydeh Pesach Shebelev. The way to get out of the jail that we're in is not through a door of a building or a house, it's through the Pesach Shebelev. It's through the opening of the heart. Ilinkoiv Nekev Belev. Listen carefully. And to pierce a hole, an opening, to open up one's heart. Af mishi yoyshe bekel, even you who are sitting in an actual prison, closed in four walls and gates. Af mishi yoyshe bekel yochel, is able to pierce an opening in the heart, and to escape, to get out of jail. Bezeyeh ben chayrin amit. This a person can be a ben chayrin amiti. What does it mean a ben chayrin amiti? Can be truly free. It's not about opening up a door, not of a jail, not of a house. Everybody's in jail, right? Chayrus, freedom means to be able to open up a nekev, an opening of the heart. That's the way to get out of jail. So let's try to understand this on our level. Our Torah avoided it this time of the year. We're now entering the Kedusha of Chodesh Nisan on Shabbos. Yom Kippur Pesach, all of you are thinking about it and preparing, cleaning the chametz from the house. Those of you who are still at the schus, be home for Pesach, not many people these days, at least in the five towns, not yet, are home for Pesach. To clean the chametz from the home, clean the chametz from the heart. There was a great tzaddik from Atzimin, when he was going with his gabbai, they were going to B'dikas Chametz for a long time, the night of B'dikas Chametz. And at some point in the middle of B'dikas Chametz, the tzaddik stopped. He gave the shamus to him. The Sadi ripped open his coat and pulled over his talus cotton, ripped open his shirt and bared his chest. And he grabbed the candle and he said to the shamus, check over here to see. Inside of me is there chametz. That's our thought at this time of the year. To leave prison, to leave jail. We're not talking about something that happened thousands of years ago. We're talking about ourselves. The chametz in us. The jails that we're living in. That feel like very comfortable when we're living in jails. Rosh Hashanah in the Sfarim is called, Pesach is called Rosh Hashanah Le'emun. The Yontif of Pesach is called Rosh Hashanah Le'emun. Rosh Hashanah Le'emun. And the matzah that we eat on Pesach is called in the Zohar Kodesh, Michla de Mehemenus. It means the food of Emun. Michla de Mehemenus. The matzah is the bread of faith, of Emun. What does that mean? The Gemara says in Brachas and Daf Mem that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara there's an argument in the Gemara. What was it that other Mechaveh ate from? What was the tree? What kind of a tree was it? What did other Mechaveh eat from? So Rabbi Yehuda, nobody says it was an apple. Rabbi Yehuda says in the Gemara, Eitz Hadas Chita Hayu. That the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge of Das, was chita, was grain. Eitz Hadas chita. She'ein ha'tinoi ke'edei l'kreis abba v'ima ad she'yitoim tam dono. And Rabbi Yehuda explains the svara that the Eitz Hadas was grain, Eitz Hadas was matzah. Because it's called the Eitz Hadas. And Rabbi Yehuda says that a little child, a baby, when do we know when the child's dies? When the child's intellect is beginning first to develop, when the child is able to articulate those two words, Abba v'Ima, Daddy and Mommy. When the baby is able to say Abba v'Ima, that's the beginning of the emergence of Das in the life of the child. So the Gemara says, Akram, that the child does not know, the child is unable to say, obviously it's something much deeper we'll talk about, that the child is unable to say Abba Ni'ima until he begins to eat Dagan, Chita, grain, wheat. In other words, on a deeper level, what the Gemara is saying is the following. What is Das? What is Das? What does it mean to know? It's a mitzvah to know Hashem. But it's not worded in such a way. The Rambam tells us the mitzvah is the mitzvah of Emunah. One place he calls the mitzvah of Ladas. But what is true Das? The Gemara is identifying Das. The true Das is when a person knows that he has a father. And the father that we're talking about now on a deeper level is not one's human father. But when a person has the das to understand, when the emunah is so clear to the point that he knows it, that he has a father, that he has an abba, at the end of the Haggadah we come to the madrega of Echad Ani Yodea. Echad Ani Yodea. Echad Elokeinu Shebishamayim V'Aretz. It's not a matter of speculation, it's not theory. Chabatata in Himmel means I know that I have a father in Shemayim, a father who loves me. Echad ani yadei. The Zabin Abba Bisrei Zuzei. Abba is also a hint to Hashem's birth. The Zabin Abba. That our father acquired us with the Luchas. The Zabin Abba. I know Echad ani yadei. Echad alokeinu of the Shemayim of the earth. Now, you all heard of the Dushas Levi, of the Baditcher, I'm sure. So, Levi, Baditcher was big disappointment to his father-in-law, because the father-in-law knew that he got this genius of his son-in-law, but he didn't know that his son-in-law was going to go off to the Mizrach Magid to join the ranks of the Chassidim. His father-in-law was a very big misnagid; he was against the Chassidim. And Rabbi Levi Yitzchak upset the entire family, and he was gone for a while. And he came back from Mizrach, from the Mizrach Magid, the great student of the Baal Shem Tov, when the Kedusha Leiv, when the Vedichva came back, so his father-in-law asked him, so what did you learn in Mezrich? That you had to go away from your family for so long. What did you learn? What did you acquire in Mezrich? So the Vedichva said, I learned that there's a God. The God exists. So the father-in-law couldn't believe it. And the father-in-law called in the maid that was working there in the house. He was a wealthy person. And the father-in-law called him and said, can I ask you something? He said, sure. He said, do you believe in God? So the girl said, of course I believe in God. So he said, thank you, you believe. And then the father-in-law said to the Vedicha, for that you had to go away for so many months. But the cleaning girl knows that there's a God. The cleaning girl herself believes in God. So the Vedicha said, she says that, but I know. Anybody can say it. To come to that madrega of Echad Ani of Deya, I know it as clearly as I know my father and mother in this world. So the Gemara is telling us that when the child eats Dagon, when the child eats the grain, when the child tastes that taste of Dagon, which is a hint to the matzah, which is made in the simplest way from that grain. So the child means us, each and every one of us, that with that taste of the matzah, which is Michla de Mehem Lusidi, the bread of faith of Emunah, then the child, the Jew knows, he begins to have the das to say Abba, to know that he has a father. See, Emunah does not mean just to believe, like we say in the Animamins, Sheyesh Boire Umanik Luchalavur, that there's a creator who guides all of creation. It's much more than that. Emunah means what the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said when he had a conversation with a certain Jewish scholar, Lamdan. And this Lamdan asked the Baal Shem Tov, what is Emunah? And the Baal Shem Tov asked the Lamdan, this scholar, what is your definition of Emunah? And then this Talmud Chacham, this scholar, went into like a whole 45 minute discussion, a lecture, a shiur, on the Shitas of Rambam and the Ramban, and the Kuzri and Reb Sadigar. Maybe you have classes like that over here. I went through all the different opinions of how we understand what Emunah is and how to define Emunah. And he gave this whole shmuz to the Baal Shem Tov what Emunah is. And then he asked the Baal Shem Tov, and what Rebbe, what is Emunah? How do you define Emunah? So the Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov said, a pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Lamed Aleph, pasuk Chav. Nafshi kigomul alei ima, kigomul alei nafshi. That means that my faith, the Baal Shem Tov said, is the way the baby feels when he's in his mother's arms being nursed by his mother. And Rashi explains over there that the only thing in the world the baby knows is that he can trust the arms that he's in. And the only thing the baby knows is that when something is hurting, when something is wrong, that the only one who can take care of him is this woman. The baby knows this, intuitive. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, that's my Emunah. My definition of Emunah is the definition of my great-great-great-grandfather, David HaMelech. Nafshi kegomel alei ima. That sense of knowing, of certainty, the baby doesn't have any shyness or any sveik. The baby knows with absolute knowing, the way that a child is able to know something. But there's no sveikus, there's no machlokesin, there's no shitas Rambam or shitas Ramban. The baby knows his mother. So the Yontif of Pesach, when we eat matzah, which is Mechla de Mehemelus, which is the beginning of our national relationship with the Bar Yolam, with the Creator. which the time that we went after him, Lechtech Acherai, Bamidbar Be'eretz Lo Zeruah, and we followed him in with faith, Bayamein Ha'am, we followed Hashem Yisborach into the desert, and we've been following him ever since. And we eat Michal de Be'emelusa, which is the bread of Das, the Das of a child that knows how to say Abba, that knows how to say Ima. That the entire world is filled only with that reality of Abba and Ima. And we believe that on the Yotav of Pesach, which is Rosh Hashanah le'emunah, that when we eat the matzah, and we're mekayim the mitzvahs of the Seder, that somehow is ma'orer, it awakens and arouses within us this das, this level of amunah that's called das, of knowing echad ani yodeh. Other people might say that, but I know echad ani yodeh. Now let's try to taste a little bit of this amunah before, so we can come to Pesach with that expectation and hope. Let's try to understand. And now I'm going to be very simple. There's a bracha that we make every morning in Birchas Hashachar, Sha'os Likol Tzarech, right? Do you know what that's referring to specifically? Who knows? What's that referring to specifically? The Gemara says, Sha'os Likol Tzarech, Hashem, you take care of all of my needs. The Gemara, interestingly, the Gemara identifies it with one particular need. I heard it. Who said it? Somebody said, what is specifically Sha'os Likol Tzarech you talking about? I don't hear you. Just putting on our shoes. Do any of you have grandparents who were in the Holocaust? You have some of you? So, if your grandparents, God's help, are still alive, my parents are survivors, and you talk to them about shoes, what was it like to be able to have a pair of shoes or not to have a pair of shoes during those years? So, a Holocaust survivor can understand. My father said to me once, that if somebody would have offered him for 5 minutes a decent pair of shoes during the Milchama, he would have said, just let me have the shoes for 5 minutes and he could shoot them. Just 5 minutes with a pair of warm shoes. You don't know what that means. You'd be missing that in 3, 4, 5 years. So a Holocaust survivor understands that the words, Hashem, Sh'os Likol Tzarech, I want to thank you, because you've taken care of all of my needs. So a Holocaust survivor can understand that how somehow the shoes take care of all of one's needs. But the question, of course, is a real question. What does that mean, Sha'asli, cold tzarech? We're just talking about a pair of shoes. Now, even if you have very expensive designer shoes, I don't think they let you out of the building every now and then. There's some stores around this area. I haven't been here in a long time, but I know that since last year, actually. 2 years ago when I was here. But there are a lot of stores around here. Even if you buy the most expensive boots and the most expensive shoes, it would be quite an exaggeration to say Sha'asli kol tzarchi, a pair of shoes. It doesn't mean Sha'asli kol tzarchi, everything that I need. All of us need a lot of things. Shoes is just one thing that we need. Right? We need a lot of things. We need health, we need shiduchim, children, parnasa, peace, lo chaser. A lot of things that we need. So what is the meaning of the bracha? Sha'os likol tzarech. So it says in the Sfarim that the Chofetz Chaim was once talking to a Jew about his parnasa. And the Chofetz Chaim was very, very friendly. The Chofetz Chaim asked this person, how's it going with parnasa? So the Jew answered, Chofetz Chaim, he said it could be better. Jews say things like that, you know. Ken Zayin best. It could be better. So the Chofetz Chaim said to him, Im hayu yochel yisyasotai, you can anticipate the Chofetz Chaim's response, that what? If it could be better, Bevadai, hayu Hashem mamsel chazai, that if it could be better, then Mevadai, Hashem would give it to you, if it could be better. If that's what could be, then it would be better. And if you see that what? That the Baruch Shalom is not giving you more parnasa, as Taina, then you should know. Shelo yochel liyos yosef toy b'mashi yesh lo. Then it cannot be better than exactly what you have right now. See, it could be better. It's exactly the way that it's supposed to be. He said it could be better, and Hashem felt it should be better, then it would be better. Now how that fits into davening, we're not going to go into right now. But Chavos Chaim corrected this person in a very important way. And what Chavos Chaim said, like everything that Chavos Chaim said, on the surface it looks very, very simple. But the emes is, it's very deep, it's very profound. What Chavos Chaim is saying is this. Rabbi Shalom, on the only Rabbi Shalom, the one who created our souls, Borei Kol HaNeshamos, the one who created our neshamos, the one who brought us into existence, and the one who knows that you and I, each and every one of us, has a specific, unique reason for being in this world. Only the Borei Kol HaNeshamos, only the one who created our neshamos knows the Sherish HaNefesh, the root of the soul of each and every one. And only the Rosh Hashanah knows exactly Mahat Sarech Shakol Echad Ve'Echad. The Rosh Hashanah knows the family that you and I needed to be born into. Now you might say, I wish I was born into my friend's family. Life is so much better for her, it's so much sweeter for her. Or you might say, I wish I was born in a different place, in a different time. I wish I was born with different siblings. I wish I was born with a stronger intellect, that school wouldn't be such a struggle for me. I wish I was born with a healthier body, that I wouldn't have to worry. I was talking to a girl last week that every single day she has to go there because of her diabetes, with the shots, the injections, and she just wants to be a regular girl, and now she doesn't know because she was asking me about saying this, it's time for Mitzvah Shem to get a shidduch, and she doesn't know what to do, and if the other family finds out, then the shidduch will not be a shidduch, v'chul. And she would have wished that she could have been born in a different body. Girls often struggle, I'm talking to a room full of Sakanias. Girls often struggle with weight, with the Indian of weight. I'm not going to raise your hand about that. I have six daughters, I know what that's about. Self-image and weight, how they identify themselves by their bodies and so on, how they look in the mirror, and sometimes the mirror tells them about things that are not true. Sometimes it's true, and that's what hurts, sometimes it's not true. How many girls wish they could have been born in a different way? They would have a different temper. I wish my metabolism was like Chayesh Prince's. Chayesh Prince eats everything she wants. She enjoys life, and no matter what she eats, she's skinny. Down to the smallest, tiniest little tzorach is in life, in this world. Only the very slow who made each and every one of us knows what our tzarech is, each and every person's need is. It doesn't necessarily stim, it doesn't necessarily mean that it corresponds to what you think that your need is. There's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's interest in us, and his reason in creating each and every one of us, is not just for what we think, what we see in front of our eyes, it's for nitzchis, it's for eternity. What you and I have to accomplish in this world, and what's going to be with us beyond this world. And yet none of us are here for the first time in this world. Rabbi HaKadosh already said back in his time that there are very few new neshamas. All of us have already been to the world before. And only the Rebbeinu Shlomo knows what the neshama needs, this neshama, in this guf, at this time. And each and every one of you, your neshamas and my neshama, had an address with the name of the parents, exactly that family, exactly when we would come to the world. My wife always makes fun. She says to me that she said, "Mike, you would have preferred to have been born in few hundred years ago, the time of the Baal Shem Tov, and so I lived like in the past a lot. And I think that I would have preferred that, but then she reminds me that I like central air conditioning. And a lot of the other advantages of living in the 21st century. The Baruch Shalom wrote that exactly. My name is Chaim Moshe ben Perel. And Chaim Moshe ben Perel was supposed to come to the world. Exactly. The goof. What kind of parents? Who my parents are? Who my friends are going to be? Who am I going to meet in my life? What's the level of my sech? How open or closed is my heart? Every single thing. And the problem that we have with our emunah, chaver, this is the problem. Intellectually, what I just told you is not a chiddush to anybody. Every one of you knows that Hashem knows. Every one of you knows that Hashem is also called tzar. What I need, be'emes what I need. Not what I think I need, but be'emes what I need. Even that person who only needed to live, God forbid, 15 or 20 years, she'os likol tzar. Only the Baruch Shalom knows that. We believe it. But even though the Seichel knows that intellectually, the moment that our feet step upon the earth, the moment we come into contact with this world is called the Ilan of the Sveika, the tree of death. Other Chava ate from the tree of death. Amolek is Sufik, you all know that means death. And from the time that we become connected to this world, the baby knows his father and mother. But from the time that the baby becomes part of this world and is ready walking upon the earth, and we grow up in the artsies of this world, we begin to lose that feeling of she'os likol tzar. That which the neshama knows, and even the baby on some level knows. When our feet make contact with the earth, when we become embedded and invested in physical life, we begin to have questions and doubts. If the bracha of she'os likol tzar, when we put on shoes, that bracha, for some time the Gemara, the Pasha says that they would make the bracha while they were putting on the shoe. That bracha of she'os likol tzar for putting on shoes means the following. It means Rabbi Shalom, even though I'm in this world, and even though by being in this world I have to come into contact with many, many things, even disgusting and ugly things, Rabbi Shalom knows that just the 3 blocks to walk from where we parked the car to walk here, the person can't even lift up his head to look with his eyes. There's so many ugly things and so many distortions in this world that the eyes of a Jew should never see. So I'm asking you, Rabbi Shalom, that even though you put me in this world, and I have to be in the world, and because of that I have to come every moment of my life into contact with physical things, which cause me to forget the bread of faith, my emunah, which cause me to forget that you're my Abba. Therefore, we put on the shoe to make that hefsek, to make that separation between the person and the earth. Which is a reminder that in this world, the only way to hold on to our emunah, to our knowing God, the only way to hold on to that and to be able to free ourselves from the jail of all of the habits, of all of the addictions, of all of the nourishment of this world, is by being able to have a separation, some level of separation between myself and the earth that I touch with my feet. It's the first place that we touch every day when we get up, unless you like to get out of bed on your hands. The first place that we touch, the first part of our bodies that touches the earth every day, is the feet. So she'os likol tzar means Baruch Hu, I'm asking you to help me, even though I'm in this world, help me to remain a person who is able to hover slightly above this world. Like Alter Rebbe, the Baal Tanya, said about Shlomo Kalina, that Shlomo Kalina was in this world, but he was a tefach higher than the world. The Chassidim used to look to see underneath the coat of Shlomo Kalina to see whether or not he was actually higher than the floor. But the Tanya wasn't talking about something physical. The Tanya was talking about being in this world, but not being dragged on the floor, the dirt. Being able to be misnasa, to elevate oneself, to be a tefach, to be higher than this world, while living in this world. And that's why the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, which is the yontiv of the Rosh Hashanah v'Emunah, says by the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, the kocha toich lo'esa, and this is how you should eat the Karban Pesach. Mosnechem chaburim, you're belted, na'aleichem biragleichem, na'aleichem biragleichem, Hashem Shoch has to tell us to put our shoes on. But the Indian of Pesach, the whole yontiv of v'Emunah, the whole shorish of Amun is that a Jew should feel every minute of his life this one thing. Sha'osu li kol tzarich. What I have in my life is exactly what I need. And it's not I could do better. It could be better. This is exactly sha'osu li kol tzarich. And in order to be such a person, na'aleichem b'ragleichem u'malkelchem miyedchem, Rabbi Nachman says that a makel, a stick, means bitach, means emunah, means trusting in Hashem. So na'aleichem b'ragleichem, to eat the Karban Pesach with your shoes on. Na'aleichem b'ragleichem, u'malkelchem b'yedchem, while holding on to your stick, to your bitach, to your trust in Hashem. Because that's what it means to be free. That's what cheres is. I was talking to the women in shul about this last week. Pesach is the yontiv of cheres. The yontiv of becoming free. But there is no other yontiv in the entire year where especially Jewish women who are making Pesach, I'm not talking about the hotel girls, the Jewish women who are making Pesach, never ever the entire year do they feel as enslaved as Pesach. Nachon? They're already not there already worrying about it from Purim. I'm talking about Purim cotton already. Nervous. Nervous, anxious. There is no yontiv that when you say the entire year, you say the word Pesach, people start to break out in perspiration. Maybe in Kippur a little bit. But Pesach for sure, everybody gets nervous. So isn't it ironic that the yontiv of freedom, the yontiv of being free, somehow sets off this feeling of being meshubed, of being enslaved to my house, enslaved to the kitchen. The women have to feed a whole bunch of men for 8 days, enslaved to the kitchen. So isn't it strange that Hashem Yisbach gave us such a yontif? But the whole yontif is to be free. And especially the closer you get to Erev Pesach, the less free you feel. The more enslaved. And that's only with us. I was talking to the ladies in shul about how, could you imagine what it was like at first Pesach in Mitzrayim? Because they also had to pack. Now the people who go to hotels are busy packing. The people who are staying home are busy cooking. But the first Pesach we ever had was cooking and packing. That's not a housewife's nightmare. Which dresses to put in girls? No? You're leaving Mitzrayim forever. You can't take everything. It's very hard to schlep in the Midrash. How many pairs of shoes are you going to take? What kind of weather is in the Midrash? Sometimes at night it gets cold. Yeah? Winter clothing, spring clothing, summer clothing, fall clothing. There's a big shortage. So the first Pesach was unbelievable. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make Pesach in such a way? So what we were learning, based upon a Torah from the Sadi Bar Kluger, what we were learning last week, was Hein HaTorah. It's exactly the point. True freedom is only when a person lives with that knowledge, knowing. Sha'osli Kol Tzarich. All God wants of me is to try. Not perfection. Gershon never told anybody that you have to clean chandeliers on Pesach. He never said that you have to scrape walls on Pesach. He never said that you have to move out the refrigerator for Pesach. You just have to learn halacha. It's not true. You don't have to pull out the oven. You don't have to blow towards your braces while you're wearing them or anything like that. And 99% of the medications are totally fine. And those Pesach books have made a lot of people erratic. Rav Shlomo didn't give a lot of this stuff to us. He took it upon ourselves. So let's tell our credit, Jews are very holy. But you know what it means to be free? To be free means that you have a final done it, you have a final coming up, and you do your best to study. And when it comes time before the final, you feel this is good enough. I did what I could. So, but if you think that how your life turns out is totally up to you, where does all the anxiety, where does all of the depression and anxiety come from? It comes from this feeling, Sha'ani Oseh Kol Tzarech. Everything in my life depends on me. There's no father. All of the anxiety, growth and neurosis, life has never been better than right now. 2016 in America, life is much better than it was by any of your grandparents or great-grandparents. So how do we explain that something like 68% of Americans are taking antidepressants, and people are so anxious, and people are so nervous and overwrought with depression? Because if you don't have a father, everything is up to you. If you don't believe in Asli Kol Tzarech, that Hashem is Baruch, our job is to try. That's all. We try. The greatest and most liberating feeling is that feeling that that's all I can do. That I have a father, and how things turn out is up to my father, not up to me. That's Michlo de Megalus, that's the food of faith. That's opening up a place in one's heart. That's Echad Ani Yodeh. That's the taste of Das. Das means to know, Echad Ani Yodeh, is to know that you have a father, that your life is not up to you. It's not up to you. It's the same thing with a girl who has an atiyah, let's say, to a certain, I was talking about weight before, and has an atiyah to struggle with this inyan. And because of that, of course, she should try whatever it is to be healthy. Beyond that, to think that God doesn't have a husband for me, because I'm 10 pounds overweight, whatever it might be, that there's no way that I can ever get married, that's kefir, that's hypocrisy. That's the opposite of Pesach, that's the opposite of Emunah. I'm not suggesting that anybody spends their life in the ice cream store, you understand? That a person has to be a balsaichel to be normal. Because my wife keeps on saying to all of us lately, the last few months, she's read something and she's listening, and she keeps on saying, it's just to be good enough, to be good enough. Be good. To try. So. Shasli Kol Tzarech. Now let's go to Chelek Beis, which is much shorter than Chelek Aleph. Because this emuna, Shasli Kol Tzarech, of Na'aleichem B'Ra'aleichem, of being able to put on shoes, not to get stuck in the mud of this world, to be a Jew that's elevated, to be a Jew that knows he has a father, that knows that he's not stuck in this world, and according to the rules of this world, I'm not going to get a shidduch. According to the rules of this world, I'm not going to be able to make a pronos. I'm not going to be able to. When we were reading like in first grade, they said if you don't do well in the test, you're never going to get into a normal high school. If you're going to normal high school, you're never going to get a job. If you get a job, you're not going to get married. And it's a whole chagatya of misery that they told us when we were little kids. They're trying to scare us. The most successful people that I know from my first grade class are the ones that failed most of the tests. Those are the most successful people. It's not that good, the way they told us. But here's where you have to go to Shlav Beis. Matzah is Das, is Emuna. Why do we eat Mara? Why the Mara? If you want to say the meaning of eating more is to remember the bitterness, so beside that, so we should take a piece of more. You should open up the garbage can and say, says to the mortar, right? In fact, you throw it to the ground. Or out the window, or at your loved one, whatever it is. Why does Hashem's Baruch tell us to eat the mar? The Chachamim. Why in Moru is Chayei? Why did he eat the mar? It was just to remember bitterness, it's enough to have on the table. But to throw it out. Why did he eat the mar? So the Teres is like this. Pesach is terrific, it's very exciting. Sof kol sof, it ends. And after Pesach, the truth is that even though you could make believe in Pesach and Chol HaMoed that everything is gewaldig and that we're free, and that life is beautiful. And the tzius of life is that after Pesach, we have to return to the morrow of day-to-day life. Each person with his or her own bitterness. Everybody has their own battle, their own bitterness. But after we go through the other of Pesach, when we eat the Mechlah, the Mechlusa, and we lift ourselves off the ground to a place of what? Emuna that says, Sha'asli kal tzarfi. The person is able to look at the bitterness of his life and the difficulties that he goes through, whatever they are, the darkness of the world that we're in, and all the bitterness and difficulties that he or she has in life, and even regarding those bitterness, those difficulties and the morrow that we all have in one way or the other, the morrow of like, you know, you might think that your friend doesn't have any morrow, she also has morrow. Everybody has morrow. Everybody has morrow. Nobody's but. Some have more, some have less. Everybody has morrow in this world. You think the other one doesn't have more. Everybody has more in this world. But after you have the Michla de Meimelusa, after the Matzah, after the Geula of Pesach, after coming to a place of Osli Kotzarfi, then a person is able to come to a Madrega where he's able and she's able to know that even the bitterness of my life is exactly what I need. I don't know how, and I'm asking Hashem to help me with that. But Hashem Baruch knows exactly what I need in my life. And if this is a shiur of mara that he's giving me, like I've heard heroic parents of special children, people who have a child and they have to be with that child all of the years and they're never free from the responsibility of a child who, God forbid, is not well. And to see the emunah on these parents that I'm sure many of you have seen, if I'm living in this, it's because this is what I need. I need this. And I'm asking Hashem to help me realize that, to believe. Not to say just it's okay, it's good. I need this. Hashem Yisroch knows my neshama that I need this. I don't feel that I need this today. I don't feel that I need this tomorrow. But Hashem knows me from beginning to end. All my appearances in this world and all my gilgulim. And I need this. Shas l'kol tzarach. Every single time we say Kriya Shema, and we say the words, Mo'odecha, Chazal say, Mo'odecha means, with every single thing that Hashem gives you in life, Rashi says, the good stuff and the bad stuff, ben b'mida toyva, ben b'midas peronis, b'chol mida u'mida shuhu mo'idid l'cha, hevim mo'idlo ma'od ma'od. You should thank Him very, very much. B'chol mi'odecha, b'chol mita. When it's something which we experience as good, that's obvious. We thank You ma'od for the good that You've given me. And I see that it's good, and I appreciate the good that You've given me. But there's also me, there's pranius in the world, there's bitterness, there's morrow. They have immortal ma'od, ma'od. Even for the morrow of my life, sh'os li'kol tzarach. Even for the bitterness of my life. That's what Rashi says. B'chol mo'odecha, that's what we say in Shema. That's the pshat in the B'chol mo'odecha. B'chol mida mida, Rashi says, ben b'mida toiva, ben b'midas peronis. In the Haggadah we read the pasuk, Vayirbu vayatzmu b'ma'oid ma'oid. When we were in Mitzrayim and the Egyptians were beating us up, it says Vayirbu vayatzmu, we increased the number, vayatzmu, and we became stronger, b'ma'od ma'od. Very, very. And it could be that Ma'od Ma'od is hinting to B'chol Ma'odecha. That our parents and grandparents, I saw this with my parents on the Zunzai, that somehow that unbelievable misery that they went through during the war, everything they have in life, whatever is good, is they thank HaKadosh Baruch. And they became very, very strong through all the mara that they had to taste in those years between 1939 and 1945. B'chol midu umidu, ma'oid ma'oid, reyubo v'yahas, Baruch Hashem, we have much better lives. I mentioned in the past, and I'm sure that this girl is not here, otherwise I wouldn't tell this story, and she also is not going to listen to any tape. And if for some reason she hears this, I'm not identifying her, she shouldn't be heard. But I got a call, this goes back around 8-9 years ago. There's a call from a girl I didn't know, and she's sobbing, crying crazy on the phone. I didn't know who she was. There's no ID. It was before ID or something. I don't know who it was. And I said, "Who are you? What is it? What happened?" She can't even catch her breath. And she starts to tell me that her Zaidi, her grandfather, died. So I said, "I'm so sorry to hear that." Of course, what everybody said, "I'm sorry to hear that." And I asked her, "How old was your grandfather?" So she said to me that the grandfather was 94. And she said, this was the sentence that she said, "How can I go on davening tomorrow if Hashem did such a thing to me?" I said, "What?" She's sobbing. "How can I keep on believing and davening when Hashem did this to me? How much I love my grandfather." I said, "You said your grandfather was 94? I know we say this 120, but it doesn't happen too often, you know? 120? What were you thinking? I'm sorry to say this to you. How could God do this to you? How can you take away my grandfather?" I mean, I spoke very nicely. I tried to be patient. But the question shook me up very, very much. We're so spoiled. We're so used to hearing the good, the first ma'od. The first ma'od. Me the taiva. I was teaching years ago in high school, and I had a 12th grade girls' class in the afternoon. Fiyahad or something. And the girl gets up, she starts to scream, and two of her friends, have girls, when they run to the bathroom, the other friends go to help her out, right? It's like a whole minion that goes to the bathroom. I didn't know what happened to her. Turns out that she was working on her nails for months, and she broke her nail. This is already Eivel Gadola Yehudim, you understand? Sak fe'efer. Laharub lahashmid la'av. Eskola Yehudim. Minar v'adzak ke'taf v'noshim v'yamah. You know what I'm talking about. It's the end of the world. When we were Mitzrayim, v'yirbo v'yatzmo v'mo'oyin mo'oyin. Not that, God forbid, anybody should have any suffering. There should be any bitterness. Chalila, every Jew should have only good. But emuna means even the more, you understand what I'm saying? Emuna means b'chol mida bida b'chol ma'idacha means even the more, have a ma'idla ma'id ma'id. Because the B'dishva once said that you think there are only four questions in the Haggadah, the fear kash is the four questions. The B'dishva was once by the Seder. And it came time, all the children and grandchildren asked the four questions, and the minhag according to the Rizal is that the one who's running the Seder at the end also asked the four questions. And the Holy Rebbe from Adichev didn't ask. He had his head down, and he was quiet for a long time. Nobody knew what the problem was. And then all of a sudden, he lifted up his head, and this is what he said. He said, "Master of the universe, Marshall, you know that I have much more than four kashas." Four kashas? Man nishtana alayl azeh, shebechol alaylus. Four kashas? Let me just name one other kasha. Why is it that Rivka down the block, why is it that her husband dropped dead in the marketplace and left her with seven children and with no money to feed them? The B'nishra said, "I think that's a much bigger kasha than Chametz HaMatzah. It's a bigger kasha. You want me to go on?" He said, "I don't have four kashas, I don't have 4,000, I have 4 million kashas," the B'nishra said. Everybody was sitting there, they were shocked. And then he began to sob, and he said, "Rabbi Shalom, I don't need any answers to any of the questions. You don't have to answer. They're good kashas. I don't need any answers. All I'm asking for is one thing. Help me know in a way that's absolutely clear to me, that fills every fiber of my being. Help me feel in my heart that every single thing that I'm going through, and that the woman down the block is going through, and that every single one of us is going through, is Laman Chelokim Chaim. You know that it's only for you, and that you have a reason, and that there's a tzorach, that there's also a culture. Because if I believe in that and I know that, I can make it through the mark. So after we have the masiv, after we're zorcha to the madrega, michel de meimlusa, of shosli kol sarachi, of emuna, of das, of knowing Abba, echad and yedeya, the zaben Abba, Abba. Then a person is able to deal with the bitterness, with the mora of life. He doesn't have to throw it in the garbage, he doesn't have to make believe it doesn't exist. He doesn't have to drown himself in liquor or in drugs. He can taste the Torah, and he can still get up in the morning and be a Jew. He continues to be an Eved Hashem. A Jew once came to the Chazan from Lublin. Finish in a minute. A Jew once came to the Chazan from Lublin. And he was crying about the sorrows that he had in life, the Torah of his life, whatever, children of the sick. His wife was leaving him, whatever, he had sorrows. No panasa. And he came to the Chazan from Lublin. And he said, Rabbi, I'm a kabbal all of my suffering with emunah, with faith. Abu Sof Kol Sof, he says, because of all the difficulties in my life, I don't have the peace of mind to learn properly, to daven properly. That hurts me. So I'm asking you, Rabbi, to please daven, that Hashem should take away from me all of these things that are keeping me from Him, that are holding me back from the davening that I would like to give Him and the learning that I would like to give Him. The mitzvahs that I'd like to do for them. Because in my life now, I'm too overwhelmed with everything I can. So this is what the Chayza said. Listen carefully. The Chayza said, Hispalalti alecha. You should know I already have been davening for you. I know what you're going through. I daven for you. They yeshivu lu min ha-shamayim. And I was answered from Shamayim. They told me, Ki ein tzrichim shomas ha-taru tefil shalcha. Right now, because right now they don't need your davening and your learning in Shemayim. It's not your inyan right now, your davening and your learning. That's not what they're looking for in Shemayim. What they want now from you is that with all of your difficulties, with all of your bitterness, with all of the mora of your life, with pizer nefesh, and all of the confusion of having to take care of all of the things that you're overwhelmed by, Tasa mashatucha la'asos. You'll do the best you can to be a Jew. Good enough. You'll do the best you can to be a Jew. That's what they want from you right now in Shemayim. See, the Rosh doesn't go for that. The Rosh in the Haggadah says, Ma ha'avoda azos lachem, lachem v'loy loy. Ilo ho'yda shom lo ho'yid nigel, v'is kreif v'ikir. See, the Rosh also believes that there's a God. If you ask the Rosh, did you say the animam is in the city? He says animam. That's not what he's kaifer in God's existence. The Rosh is kaifer, is ma'avodah zarah. Why do we have to go through all of these difficulties in life? The Rosh is kaifer in sha'os likol tzarach. The Rosh is stuck in that jail that Rabbi Levi was talking about in the beginning. He can't get out of that jail. He can't find a place to open up that nekev shebelev, to make that opening of the heart that lets him out of jail, that frees him from the terrible prison that says to the person, my life is completely up to me. And therefore, if there's anything bad in my life, it's either my fault, or it's this one's fault, or that one's fault, or I'm angry with this one, and I can't forgive my parents, I can't forgive my friend, I can't forgive anybody, because everything is me. That's the prisoner of Ari's talking about. But a person who knows, Echadaniya Daya, Zabin Abba, Sha'osli Kol Tzarchi, knows that the Mara is also a tzarech that Hashem has given him in his life. So instead of a story, I want to end with a tefillah. A beautiful breast of a book of tefillahs, where there are some of the Rav Nosson's tefillahs that are abridged and translated into English. So I'll just share this with you. It's called Obstacles. Just listen. You know, dear God, that so many obstacles seem to stand in my way, to keep me from you and from really living. They appear on all sides like walls of iron, like flooding streams or rivers of fire. And so I remain distant from you. However, you have revealed that you are hiding there in the barriers themselves. My limited vision has held me back, but my faith tells me I can move forward, that the obstacles are not real at all, since you are there within them. So I come to you for understanding that the obstacles are only an illusion, that they will disappear if I can really be strong in my desire to come close to you. Help me, dear God, have the strength and courage to overcome the obstacles, whether they are created by others or by my own impure desires, my doubts and confusions. Have mercy on me so that my mind and heart are strong with true belief. Then there is no such thing as an obstacle that can keep you from you. There is no such thing as an obstacle. Pesach means to jump over. There's no such thing. There's any obstacle. No such thing. Hashem's book should help each and every one of you and myself. We should be sorry to believe the Munash Shleim. Those words to us in the cult are, if you just give up this thing, it could be better. It could be better if I had that job, if I had that parent, if I had that image of myself, if I had that brain, if I had the Wizard of Oz, if I only had this or if I only had that. It's exactly the way that it's supposed to be. So us are. We should be minded to Hashem to be big people, to lift ourselves off of the earth. That way, definitely. Once we're ready in that place, Hashem's brought should fly us all back to Yerushalayim. We should preserve the teeth and the proper pace of the Svach and the Absach and the Simch and the Wall of Pai, so the flesh of our weakness may be in our main life.